In the matter of Michael David Lindner Jr., may we please have appearances?
Pro Tem Kim, Deputy Ethics Counsel for the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Good afternoon, Michael Lindner, representing himself.
Thank you. Welcome, Counsel. I'd ask that you mute yourselves when you're not presenting. Ms. Kim.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice and Associate Justices of the Court. Before the Court is the Disciplinary Review Board's recommendation of a censure for Respondent Michael Lindner, Jr., for several violations of the Rules of Professional Conduct during his representation of clients Thomas Kelly and Arlene Mobile. Per the hearing record below and the Board's detailed decision, the Office of Attorney Ethics submits there is clear and convincing evidence of Mr. Lindner's ethics violations, namely gross neglect, lack of diligence, failure to communicate, unauthorized practice of law, conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation, failure to enter into a written contingency agreement, and failure to cooperate with ethics authorities. The OAE will rely upon its written submission to the Court to dispute Mr. Lindner's arguments as to why his failure to serve his client's complaints and have those complaints reinstated after dismissal was not gross neglect or a lack of diligence, and his inaccurate or non-existent statements to his clients as to the status of their cases was not a violation of conduct involving a misrepresentation. The OAE argues the record below sustains the finding of all the violations and the recommended censure. As to the dissenting vote for a three-month suspension, we leave to the Court's discretion whether to impose such a suspension, but the OAE does note that Mr. Lindner's continuing justification of his tactics in handling civil complaints and apparent non-acknowledgement of his errors may justify a short-term suspension. Thank you.
To Lindner.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice, Associate Justice, and may it please the Court. Throughout the entire process of this proceedings against me have occurred, from the very beginning I recognized that the matters for both Mr. Kelly and Ms. Mulville were not handled to the standards that apply to us as attorneys and were well below the standards I normally held myself out to. I firmly the belief and the recognition that this requires punishment of some sort. And that was the way that I approached this the entire time. Even to this day in the process here at this time, I would understand a punishment of censure, even if I think some of the case law and the findings below would justify a reprimand. The main aspect that I have always contested, and really the only basis why it didn't even go by consent and why it kept going along, was this indication that I had lied to both the clients. And I clearly recognized they were not properly informed timely. As for Ms. Mulville's case, the failure to refile that motion is grossly neglect. But in no time did I ever lie to them. And that was only the basis that I wanted to defend this entire process, is to point out that on no occasion, in these two cases, or any client I've ever had in the 20 years that I've been an attorney, have I ever lied to them. With that said, any questions you have about the specifics, I'm willing to answer.
Are you drawing a distinction between material omissions and lies?
In terms of material omissions, which specific one would you be referencing? Because I agree with you that if I fail to tell somebody something that I know is critical to a conversation I'm having with them, that would be equivalent to a lie.
In the Kelly matter, not relaying that the matter had been dismissed to your client?
Correct. On that one, when Mr. Kelly came to my office, after a long delay in me getting back to him, me closing my office, trying to shut things down, bring clients in. When he walked into my office on that day, I think in a normal situation, I absolutely had a duty to inform him that his case was dismissed at that time. When he walked into my office at the time, which was actually an insurance office where I was doing insurance work, this was not a normal legal setting where you have clients coming in where other people in the office are expecting clients to come in. They understand certain clients might be upset or angry. And I'd already attorney informed him that he was going to need another attorney and that he was going to get another attorney. He was extremely angry, as I understood why, and I anticipated that things were not going to go smoothly, and I made a judgment call at that point that in light of the insurance office I was in, the other insurance people around, the embarrassment that might occur, and what might turn out to be a scene, for them not something they'd be used to, and knowing that he was going to have an attorney within a day or two, that I could then relay everything to, which in fact I did relay everything to with all the documents, I chose not to tell him on that point. I don't know if that's the right decision, because I think I have a duty to tell him that, but it wasn't that I was hiding from him the fact that his case had been dismissed for lack of prosecution. It was more a judgment that I was trying to handle the case and the situation in front of me in a way that I felt would be best resolved without causing some type of scene.
And was there something similar in the multiple matter when the client asked for an update from the hearing and you did not disclose that the court had vacated an order and that the complaint had been dismissed?
She always knew that the complaint had been dismissed. That was the whole point of the motion. She had the documents referencing that. She was aware of all the efforts I took to get the case reinstated. The case, in fact, was reinstated. It was only after the case was reinstated that once the defense attorney got involved, who I had not known was going to be involved in the case, he filed a motion to vacate the prior order. We then appeared on that argument in front of Judge McCaffrey, and at that argument, there was a lot of colloquy back in chambers where we were trying to resolve some of these issues, and ultimately the decision at that point was to do exactly as I outlined to Ms. Mulville in the email to her. Basically said the judge was going to relist it for another day. He was going to require me to outline my belief as to why I thought the standard was good cause and not exceptional circumstances. But if it was good cause, I would have to outline the reasons why. He had said in chambers, I've already found that there's going to be exceptional circumstances, but we need to make the record clear, and I need to give the defense attorney an opportunity to set forth the prejudice they would have if he reinstated the case, which is that exactly what I outlined. The problem I had was that at that point, as I was closing down my office, wasn't doing any legal work, and was trying to move cases to other attorneys, 99% of which occurred, that's where I thought her case was going, and I was just leaving it to the next attorney to take over. At that point, there's no excuse for not getting the motion at least filed. Had that motion been filed, the case would have been reinstated, there's no doubt in my mind. The case would have been proceeding, and I would have had more time to get her to another attorney, assuming somebody found the case had merit. But there's no excuse for not filing the motion.
Are you practicing law now?
Very little. Yes, I am, but very little. 99% of my day is insurance work. I do have a law office that's in the insurance office where I am. This is part of it, but there's another office within the same building that I do my insurance work. All I do is non-litigation. I don't take any litigation cases. In fact, one of the things I recognized in terms of my ethical standards was that I didn't believe that I was handling my litigation cases properly and was in the process of not taking any additional litigation cases. Ms. Mulville's was the last litigation case I took, and only then as a favor because she was my sister-in-law's friend, and I was moving all my litigation cases to other people. All I do now is what I would call office work, occasional will, real estate closing, once in a while, the municipal court case, if it happens to be within 5 to 10 miles of my office, that I can go out and take an hour or so. I set up a few small businesses, operating agreements. But other than that, my goal is just I'm doing insurance work. I like to keep my law license. I do need it, that small amount of work I do, which is the financial necessity for me. If I ever got to the point my insurance work grew to the point I hope it does, I probably would end up just retiring. But in the meantime, that's not a financial ability for me to do at this point.
Questions, anyone? Anything you'd like to add?
This whole process, it's been difficult for me to do and go through, recognizing that my actions did not comport with the way I've handled every case, in my opinion, from the day I first became a lawyer until I stopped. Obviously troubles me that this is going to be a legitimate and justifiable stain on my record that I'm going to have to live with. I was trying to close down my office to try to avoid something like this, and it's ironic that in the process of closing it up in such a poor fashion, I ended up committing two ethical violations. And that's tough. The only part that gives me any solace at all is that I did thoroughly review both cases for Mr. Kelly and Ms. Mulville's mother, and I know that the cases ultimately had no merit, so I, at least I don't believe that I did anything to harm them in terms of my actions. If I had committed an ethical mistake and I hurt their abilities, I think that'd be even worse for me. But I'm sorry for the way this was done. I wish this never occurred. I wish I had closed it down in a better fashion, even though there didn't seem to be a book on how to do it. I anticipate that the punishment was warranted. And other than the fact that I think I hold myself out to a higher standard, which is why I'm willing to accept the censure, I think a reprimand would be acceptable under the circumstances.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement.